Welcome to another life-changing message preached live at Hope City Church. We hope you'll be encouraged and inspired by God's word to live your best life yet. So get ready to hear from God as you enjoy the message.
Yeah, give the band a big round of applause. Doing great today. Chest sounding good on the back end. Adam on the drums. Brother and sister team there. Could be the next, what were they called? Brother and sister. Could be the next White Stripes. Next what? Hanson. No, probably not. Okay, give three people high fives and you can sit down. And if they refuse to give you a high five, just ignore them. Good. Great. So, just imagine you've not seen me up until now. And as a bonus, just to compensate, next Sunday I'm preaching elsewhere, so you won't see me at all next week, but at least we'll be here bringing, I'll be bringing a great word. It's going to be excellent. So I'm quite amazed at the doors that open around my life. I'm quite amazed. I love Andy saying, you know, in his story about the door that's open to him now, the in the city hearts, around peg in a round hole, an Andy-shaped peg in an Andy-shaped hole. You know, in life, I believe that. I believe there's a U-shaped, you know, hole for you in your life, but it's U-shaped. Anyway, I don't know what I'm talking about. But I'm amazed sometimes the doors that open in my life. I'm still amazed that I get to live in this incredible city and be pastor of you incredible people. And yeah, you are. And see this thing move forward. And just what a great doorway has opened up. I might make you slightly jealous with this one, right? But I'm going to Australia soon. Australia, I know, like, boo, get off the stage. And going to Australia, because we're part of C3, which is based out of Australia, Phil Pringle's church, so it's kind of required that some of us go to the conference. It's required. And I'm getting to go. I'm like, gosh, Dave, me from, you know, the council estate in Nottingham, what are the prospects, what are the chances, and to Liverpool, to go to Australia, which is like, that's like a dream thing, right? To go and be in a conference center in Sydney for like days and think, I want to see out there, but this will be good in here. And just incredible doors open. But even more than that for me, I'm amazed that sometimes you have doors open to you, but it's even better to be able to open the door for someone else. Because Clive, right, who's the pastor of Hope City in Lancashire, where me and Lisa have just come from, who we've raised up, I'm like, he's getting to come to Australia with us. Well, even before that, he gets to be the pastor. And I'm like, gosh, I've opened the door. You know, I've been able to open the door for someone else to have opportunities that they otherwise may not have had. And I think for our lives, there's doorways that God wants to open for you, you know, but often we're so bothered about ourselves, aren't we? Think, what's doors for me? What's next for me? But even more than that, you know, as you go through the doors that God has for you, it's like, well, we should, you know, you walk through a door sometimes, don't walk through the door and just let it shut behind you, right? As you might do when you're going through town or the city, you're in a rush, you don't open the door and open it, just let it slam on the mother and child behind you, you know. Just to have the door, to hold the door open for somebody else. And there's more pleasure in that. It's greater to give than to receive. And we take some convincing about that because we want to receive, right? But it's greater to give than receive. And I was just thinking about that and thinking about, you know what? Jesus opened for our lives an incredible doorway into a much bigger world and a better world and a world of promise and a world where you get to be who you were always meant to be, a doorway of opportunity, a doorway of purpose. And God wants you to, even today, to understand the doorway that he has opened for your life. It's not a doorway just into a church building to have a nice time in a service. It's a doorway of destiny. Turn to the person next to you and say, destiny. So there's a doorway of destiny that Jesus Christ has, he's stepped through, but he's not let the door slam behind him. He holds the door open for you and say, come on through. I'm not going to enjoy this on my own. I want you to share in everything that I've won for you. And here's a verse in scripture that was written by the Apostle Paul to the church in Rome, in Romans chapter 5, verses 1 to 5. It says, therefore, and if you see therefore, it's good to know why, what it's there for. So we'll track back, right, in a little while. But I'm like, let's see what's through the door. Therefore, since we've been justified by faith, to say by faith, not by your works, not by what you've done, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. God wants you to be able to stand. You know, stand firm, to stand in the midst of whatever is going on around your life. There is access, a doorway into God's grace. It's based upon faith in Jesus Christ. And, right, we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings. Don't you love verses like that? He's like, oh, that's me. That's me rejoicing in my sufferings. Oh, yeah, Dave, you're preaching it now. I'm right with you. Knowing that suffering produces endurance. Okay. And endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. Jesus dealt with everything that would keep you locked out of heaven. It would keep you locked out of your purpose. It would keep you locked out of becoming who you're meant to be. Every single thing that could stand in the way of you entering into the fullnesses, the promises of God for your life, has been dealt with by Jesus Christ. As we put our faith in him, we enter into the possibility that we might discover who we were always meant to be and what we were always meant to do. I find it's a possibility. It's not always inevitable. You've got to kind of step through the doorway by faith, saying, Jesus, there is something on the other side of this door that you've got for me. I love this. Through faith, we access grace and the ability to stand firm until everything God promises is complete in our lives. That is my prayer for you. Because I've been around a little while, and I know that not everybody seems to stand firm until they gain the whole thing that God has for them, until the thing is completed. Something happens along the way sometimes in our lives. And I want us to build a church where we know how to stand, where we know how to go through and come out the other side and get to that last day, it says, in hope of the glory of God, which is about the last day when Jesus is back and says, well done. I want every single one of you to get the well done of Jesus Christ, and even to hear it in your heart right now, because it's not about what you do, but it's always about what he has done, that we put our faith in him. And that is what will get us through. You're destined to stand firm. We access joy in our sufferings. That doesn't mean that you're just skipping around going, oh, I'm having a terrible time. You know? It doesn't mean that. But sometimes I find that people who know Jesus, who discover who Jesus is in their lives, they gain an uplift that seems to be that even when they're down, even when they're troubled, there's something that seems to just bounce them off the bottom. I keep coming back up. I keep floating to the top. And my prayer for you is that you'd have that in your life, that you'd keep floating back up to the top, even if you feel like, whoa, I'm sort of being weighed down right now, that there'd be something in you, a faith in Jesus that would be bouncing you back up to the surface in your life. Because it says, you know what? Suffering, this is in God, suffering produces endurance. When you might think, or the world might think, that your circumstances and your stuff would produce weariness and quitting and retreating, because that's maybe even how you feel right now. Some weariness, quitting, retreating, when your circumstances or people or even in yourself think this is going to be the end product. So God says, you know what? No, with me involved, what's going to be produced is endurance, not quitting. not quitting. God, when we put our faith in him, he doesn't allow the suffering and the stuff of our lives to produce quitting. So even if you're on the edge of it right now, I'm saying, come on, there's a doorway that takes you to endurance. And that goes on, it produces character. When the stuff sometimes around you says, well, it maybe produces brokenness, bitterness, resentfulness, in God, it produces character. A better, purer, sharper, wiser version of you. I'm like, God, you know, that stuff that's gone on in my life and my history, the ultimate thing, it has not produced quitting, weariness, brokenness, bitterness, resentfulness. I might have gone through that at some stage in my life, but what God actually does is turn that around to produce endurance, produce character. I'm like, I'm a wiser person because of what I've been through. I'm a purer person. I'm a sharper person. I may be a better person because of what I've been through. So your suffering produces endurance, which produces character, which produces hope. I'm like, gosh, the end product becoming hope. This is good. God, I want what I'm going through. I want what you're going through, the actual end product, to be hope. He said, I'm going through those times. Well, God wants to produce some hope in your life that comes out of your world. I find this, that the longest night always ends in the dawn. So sometimes it's a matter of time. He said, I want you to endure until the sun starts to come up. I don't know if you ever had a night like that. I've had a few nights like that where it seems like, you know, you're going through stuff and you can't sleep and the turmoil of stuff is going around your head and you're thinking it through and you think what's going to happen. And I find at nighttime, I can't work it out. I can't figure it out in the night. When I wake up in the night, oh my God, what am I going to do about that? I don't know. Oh no, this could happen and that'd be terrible, and that could happen and that would be terrible. I can't work it out. But when the sun starts to come up, it's not so bad. It's a weird thing. In the night, it seems terrible. You know, and you've worried for 6 hours and you fall asleep, you know. Wake up half an hour later with your alarm clock and the sun's come out and you're like, oh, it's not so bad. It's easier to think it out. It's like, oh no, I can work this out. There's something about just getting through the night, you know, and God wants you to be able to get through the night into the place of hope. But I find this, that people who go through stuff with God, what ends up happening is that we know I've been through this and I've seen God faithful. Therefore, when I go back into something a little bit dark, a little bit heavy, there's hope in my heart. So what I've already been through is producing some hope that I can invest into what I'm going through in the future. And more than that, it produces influence. It's says, you know what? Those who have hope are not put to shame. There's something in your story and what you've gone through that's needed in your community. So never think this is just about me. Maybe I need to get over stuff. I'm like, gosh, so much of what I've been through feeds into what I'm saying now. If I hadn't gone through some stuff, I'd have nothing to say. And I'd say some stuff and it'd have no depth. I'm like, God, thank you. That's why we can rejoice sometimes. Say, God, I've been through some stuff. I don't want to go through it again. But it's produced something in me that somebody needs. Somebody needs what you've been through. Someone needs it. What you're going through right now that you think, oh, I just want to get out of it. Somebody needs that. They need the hope that God is producing in your life right now. He needs that. God wants to produce people of hope. Because his love for the world is poured out in our hearts. That's what I think God wants to do in your life, in my life, that we're not just focused on us, but we're focused on, oh, there's a world around us, you know, that needs Jesus. Needs Jesus for eternity, right? For the sake of eternity, for the sake of, well, you know, but also for now. I'm like, God, this isn't about just me. This is about the world that needs Jesus Christ. So God's opened the door through Jesus Christ, granting you access into, wow, gosh, endurance. So I'm like, so let's get back a little bit, a few verses. So because it said, well, therefore, right, you can endure, therefore you can go through. Let's just rewind a little bit, right? Because this is the season of faith. And I want you to kind of understand what, okay, what's this I've gained access to? What is this that's going to help me endure? What is this that's going to help me grow? And the promises of God are on the other side of this door. And we're going to go back to Romans 4, right, for the next next 10 minutes or so, right? And it's talking about Abraham. I don't know if you've heard of Abraham. Our father Abraham had many sons. There was a song. I never was around for that song, but I've heard about it. Abraham is in the book of Genesis, which is the first book of the Bible. And it's the Genesis is the book of orange where everything origins. Did I say orange? Book of oranges. The book of fruits. And Abraham is known, really as the father of faith. He's the first, he's the person who God picks out of almost, it seems out of nowhere. Suddenly God picks him out and says, you know what? I'm going to bless you. You're going to have a child. And through that child and through his descendants is going to come a blessing for all the world. And he's kind of starting off the whole process that would lead to Jesus. And it says many times of him that he believed God and God accredited to him. It to him as righteousness. He's like the first guy who really learned really what it was to live by faith. And so we can learn some things through Abraham. And it talks about him in these verses in Romans. Abraham came from a place that if you asked him where he came from, you'd think maybe he'd forgotten where he came from. Because you go, Abraham, where did you come from? And he goes, and they go, no, can you not remember? And he says, no, that's the name of where I, that's where I came from. That's where I came from. Thank you for humoring me. So Abraham came from Ur, and here's Romans 4, right, verse 13 to 14. It says it's the promise to Abraham and his offspring. He's talking about Jesus, right? To Abraham and his offspring that he would be, get this right, he would be heir of the world. Did not come through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if the adherence of the law if it's the adherence of the law who are to be the heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. Okay. I just read that. I go, what, the heir of the world? That's quite a thing to inherit. That's quite a lot. The world. I'm like, gosh, well, what does that mean for us? Well, that's just a bit too big. That verse is a little bit too big. You could have said inherit these things, you know, inherit a nation, inherit a city, inherit just the stuff I need, right? But inherit the world, that's kind of a big concept to grasp. But I think, well, sometimes we think the world's against us, don't we? You know, the whole world's against me, or everything is against me. And yet God seems to have open a doorway to something much bigger than what we sometimes think. The world is yours. Turn to the person next to say, the world's yours. The world is yours. I think, what do you need right now? What do you need right now? What do you need to access? What do you need internally? What do you need around your life? What is the area of need? What do you need to access? What door do you need to see open? I was reminded this week, I was having a chat with someone from the congregation, and they reminded me of, they said, hey, Dave, it was so significant when you and Lisa turned up, that the doorway was opened for us to go into the Epstein. And I was like, yes, that's true. It was like in a moment of need and a moment of time, just when it kind of something needed to shift, a door opened. The door opened, whatever. I think whatever you need, well, certainly the world covers it, right? You say, oh, God, can you maybe provide something? Is it, could I have it? Could I? I'm like, well, God certainly seems to have everything available. That's for sure. I want doors to open in my world. I want doors to open of food and friendship. You know, those are doors I want to open. You don't think, oh, in the world, I want a Lamborghini. That's in the world. Have a Lamborghini, Dave. Preach that faith message. I would just be happy for a door into someone's world to open up. God, there is an inheritance of doorways into lives that is in front of you. Dave, last week, Pastor Dave on the video was talking about the community that you are in. There is doorways. I'm like, don't just be praying about out there or just some. Just pray about you. Just think, God, there is doors around my world that you want to open up in front of me. Even this week, doors of opportunity, doors of friendship. Maybe there's some stuff you need to access for yourself. Maybe there's a material need, a business need, an emotional need. I'm like, in Christ, right? This may seem quite big, and I'm going to try and back it up for you. In Christ, you inherit everything. Everything. Everything you could possibly need is available to you in Christ. Everything you need for this moment. Everything you need to succeed. Everything you need to get you through what you're going through. Do you need me to back it up a little bit? I'll back it up, right? Dave, back it up, and I believe you. Right, Galatians 3:29. It says, if you are Christ, if you belong to Jesus, then you are, say I am, you are Abraham's offspring, heirs according to promise. Heirs what? Of the world. You're heirs with Abraham. If you belong to Christ, if you know Jesus Christ, it's not Abraham had, you know, it was Abraham and Jesus, they get the world. I don't know what it means. He's saying, no. Hey, if you got Jesus right, then you are a co-heir. You're in there. You are in there. Okay. You inherit the promise, right? Romans 8:16-17. The Spirit himself, the Holy Spirit, bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, that we are offspring. And if children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. Hello. Fellow heirs with Christ. Provided we suffer with him. Oh, shut up. Oh, it's disappointing, isn't it? In order we almost may also be glorified with him, you know. You're not meant to suffer on your own. As long as you suffer with Jesus, as long as you know, you're not meant to go through what you're going through on your own. There's no glory in that. There's no good times in that. You know, there's no good times in just going through it in your, you know, just hiding in your bedroom going, oh, on a terrible time. You're not meant to suffer alone. Maybe there's some people even in this room that you're suffering on your own, but the key to getting through the suffering is that you don't suffer on your own and you don't need to suffer on your own. You suffer with Jesus, in order that we may also be glorified with Jesus. If you're going to suffer, suffer with Jesus. And if it's with Jesus, then it's suffer with the people who belong to Jesus. And then maybe your suffering will be shorter, cut short, come to an end. Then you might get some of the good of what God wants you to have. You don't suffer alone, and Jesus isn't glorified on his own. I think that's just a big concept as well. He wants you with him, raised. He wants to shine something about himself through your life in the here and now. Incredible. Romans 8:32, who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with Jesus graciously give us all things? I'm just like, well, as I've looked, put these verses together, I go, well, it seems that for my life, there's pretty much everything I could possibly need. Becomes available. Whatever your need and whatever you need to access right now, personally, I think it's time to pray as a child of God. We sometimes pray as a beggar. We sometimes pray as like, I've got to earn something. I'm not quite worthy enough. I want you to pray, and I want me to pray as an heir of everything that Jesus has. Everything that could possibly be needed. John 14:13-14 says, whatever you ask, listen, guys, if we could get this just a little bit more, how we would change so much about our lives. Whatever you ask in my name, this, what? What? Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do. Amen. That the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Well, I think it's time to start asking. I think you need to be asking more. I don't think you're asking enough. I don't think you're confident enough. I don't think I'm confident enough half the time in my approach to God. And he says, if you ask me anything in my name, right? Which means that, well, anything, Jesus, that you have, I'm coming in your name, not in my name. I'm coming. Anything that I need right now for my life, anything I need to help me go through, any door that I need to see open up. God, what you want me to have it. You don't want me to strain and strive and struggle for the next 6 years trying to get somewhere in my life. God, you want me to believe you. And then for come to you with confidence. Well, whatever I ask for in your name, you will do it. Yeah. I know why you need some convincing. You need some convincing. Verses go on. It says, we have become fully convinced. I'm like, it's a journey to fully convinced. Got to start. Make a start. See, the next thing about the promise is guaranteed to everyone. It says in Romans 4:16, that's why it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his offspring. Guaranteed. The future doesn't depend on you. Your standing with God doesn't depend on your achievements. They depend only upon faith and trust in who Jesus Christ is and his work to take your place upon the cross. Your future doesn't rest on your qualifications. It doesn't depend on prideful striving or acts to prove your worthiness. The promise of God is resting on grace. Well, you're thinking about your life, your future. It's just resting on a lovely cushion of grace. You know, those cushions, I can't remember where they get. You know, you have a cushion. Someone comes out with a cushion with a ring on it or something. Like, it's just a cushion. It's resting. Your promise, you think, you promise I've got to do something. I've got to work it up. Oh, I forget about it. I don't know. It's resting. It's being upheld on a cushion of grace. It's just resting. It doesn't depend on you doing something, working it up. God, my promise is secure. It's guaranteed. It's guaranteed. See, Abraham in verse 17 to 19 was in the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. It's quite a lot of power. Abraham, right, was promised a child and it just wasn't happening. And he says, in hope, he believed against hope that he should become the father of many nations. As he had been told, so shall your offspring be. There was a promise. He didn't weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old. I mean, if you got to 100 years old and you had no kids, you wouldn't be, you know, you probably hope would fade slightly, wouldn't it? Or when he considered, he says, the barrenness of Sarah's womb. These guys were getting on a bit. Slightly past the age of, you know, and I don't know about you, but if you've been, maybe you've just been believing God for like 5 years, for 4 years, for 3 months, and you're like, thank God it's not happened. You know, we so often start this Christian life with a big hurrah and a God can do anything. And then we find that we've got to go through some stuff and things don't always happen the way we want them to. And things don't work out the way we thought we do. And then by the time we've gone a little way down the road and where God's actually trying to build some endurance, character, strength and hope and all these things into our lives, we find ourselves in a, well, probably this doesn't work. Probably it wasn't God. Probably this thing doesn't happen. Probably it never works. And we find ourselves considering our own body and considering our situation and thinking, well, we're as good as dead. You know, it's as good as over. Pass on the baton to the next generation. You know, and go to a retirement home. I don't know. You know, and I'm like, gosh, these guys waited a long time. Had to go through quite a lot. And so God doesn't say, don't consider your circumstances. Don't consider how things actually are. But he says, when Abraham considered what was actually the reality of his situation, he says he didn't weaken in faith. I'm like, well, that's quite incredible. Because he knew God who can make something out of nothing, who gives life to the dead. I've been as good as dead. I've been as good as dead. I keep giving you highlights right of my story. But I've been in a hospital bed, literally dying, right? So I know what it's like to be as good as dead. and see that God can turn things around. And so I don't know what the state of affairs is. As you consider, you go, well, maybe I've believed there was some promise. Maybe I believed for something. Maybe I've had a hope and a dream. And you look at yourself. Sometimes you're just looking at yourself. It's not even your circumstance. You look at yourself and you go, well, what's this going to produce? But I know that God can do incredible things. It's like, well, it doesn't matter. Because it's never about how good we are. It's always about how good he is, about what he's got, about his grace. The God who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that don't exist. Hey, guitar or whatever can come up and we'll pray in a moment. Because sometimes we take the promises of God, the things we hope for. We look at ourselves or our circumstance and just think, well, even who we are could stop things coming to pass, or our circumstances could stop us entering into to what God has for us. But maybe actually the deadness of your situation is a vehicle for a miracle. Because the deadness of Abraham's situation was actually turned out to be, this is the vehicle for the miracle. This is good, because now we're going to see just how good God is. So if you look around yourself and look at yourself and think, well, things seem pretty bad. Things seem pretty far from it. I say, well, God can turn dead things to living things. And maybe this is where God's going to get some real glory and show how actually incredible he really is. So lastly, right, and we'll pray in a second. The promise of God gains strength through praise. He says in Romans 4:20-21, he says, no unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. I don't know about you. I want to be fully convinced, don't you? I want to have something in my life. I want to have a sense of, I'm fully convinced that despite whatever I see, God is able to do absolutely incredible things. Sometimes we want things to happen straight away, don't we? Don't we? We live in quite an impatient world where it's like, have it now. Don't wait. Have it now. Have your pay 3 days early, right? Have it 3 days early and then pay for it double by the end of the week. You know, it's kind of like, have it now. You want it now. You need it now. If you ain't got it now, then you know good, you know, or you haven't got what it means to look good or to have life. It's like, have it, get it any way you can, but have it now. With Emma, our little girl, she wants everything straight away. Emma, you can have that later. No, now. You can have the chocolate later. Now. Okay, Emma, we can go to the park later. I want to go now. But everything that we want Emma to have, she wants in a minute. In a minute. Emma, why don't you clean teeth? In a minute. Emma, just get your shoes on. In a minute. I'm like, gosh, some of us don't move past it. I want it now. Will you do that? Will you do that? Go there, do that. Oh, in a minute. Dave, we go and sort out that situation with that person. Oh, in a minute. You know, will you not panic and trust in me? Well, in a minute. I'm going to panic for a bit first. Oh, will you reach out to that person in your world? Oh, in a minute. But God, I want you to bless me now. I want the promise fulfilled now. I want the answer now. I want that relationship now. I want my business to be successful now. But I want to become fully convinced. Abraham, it says, he didn't waver in unbelief. I'm like, well, good on you, Abraham. But then when I look at his story, I realize, well, he might not have wavered in unbelief, but he certainly had a go at working it out his way. Waiting for a child, think, oh, how's this child going to come? We're getting old. Sarah, you've got a concubine. A concubine. It's not a female porcupine. It's not. I was reading that. I was like, what? It was like a maidservant of Sarah's. And she said, well, I'm past it. What about my maidservant? I'm like, what are they thinking about? He says Abraham, he didn't waver in faith, but he certainly tried some strange methods to try and work it out. And I think we do stuff like that. We need to try, give up trying to work everything out for God. I'll tell you how it's going to happen, God. This is what needs to happen now. Because I've seen, and maybe you've been there, where we've got a promise over our life, or we believe God's promised us something. Might be a husband. I've seen this happen. This might be something, or I've got a business, and there's a promise in the sense that God wants to bless me in this area. But instead of allowing the promise to come to pass in the right way, you can force it. And then when you forced it, you end up regretting it when it doesn't come about. And then I've seen people go, well, what then? Well, I give up then. Well, God hasn't blessed me then. Well, he doesn't work then. I find he says, his faith grew strong as he gave glory to God. And for me, it's like he's saying, okay, God, your way, not my way. And some of us maybe have hit frustration points. So I'm thinking, well, where is God going to come through? Or you've tried some stuff and it's not quite worked out. And I think it's time to come back. Okay, God, I'm going to allow faith to grow strong, the promise to grow strong as I give glory to you, as I say your way. Some endurance to build up in our lives, some character to build along the way. What you've gone through, I'm saying, well, maybe it's there for the production of character and the production of hope. But some of us need convincing. Paul became fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. I guess I haven't been tested to the limit, right? I've not been tested to the limit, but I'm quite convinced. I could go to there. I'll say, am I fully convinced? I am quite convinced. If I'm going right down into my heart, I'm quite convinced that God could do everything he's promised. I got stuff that's unfulfilled in my life, promises. I wish I was 10 years younger, right? I wish you were stood up here 10 years ago. I would love that, right? Most of the lead pastors of Hope City Church are younger than me. I know you're looking going, Dave, how is that possible? Are they 12? Oh, you think, gosh, God, this is taking longer. This is taking longer than I had anticipated. But I'm getting there and the doors are opening and things are moving. I'm becoming who I'm supposed to become because God's actually, he's interested in you and who you're becoming. More than just fulfilling something and your concept of what it should be. He's much more interested in you becoming the best version of you. And sometimes that means that we don't get the stuff that we would really have wanted in the time we wanted it and the way we wanted it. But it works out that when we do get it, it's a lot better than if we'd had it back there. Better for you, better for everyone. It's much better for you that I'm up here now than me 10 years ago. Because me of 10 years ago was quite different to the me of now. So you get a better version of me. Hooray for you. I stood at a crossroads in my life in 2007, beginning of 2007. Crossroads moment. Not the soap opera. If you remember that. That's now shown how old I am. It's a moment, a crossroads moment in my life where I could have gone either way. We've been in a difficult church situation for a number of years. Really, the promises of God seemed to be far, far away. What we'd hoped for had been dashed on almost every side, including, as some of you know, the pastor of the church passing away. And a church that seemed to be going nowhere and seemed to be if it was going anywhere, it was probably going, well, towards being shut, right? And there's all kind of giving up. And the pastor died, and I knew I was kind of like, I was a kind of second in command. And my kind of superiors who came and looked out for us through that period, came and we had a conversation. I remember saying, "Oh well, I've kind of got to take it on. I've got to." And he said, "Well, you don't have to." And I'm like, "Whoa, I don't have to." And it just suddenly, there is an option in front of me. What do? We could just shut the doors. I could go and just join a nice church down the road. I go to one of those big churches. It's already 1,000 people, already 500 people. I go there and it's just great. I could do that, or I could stay here with this dozen people where it's all gone wrong. I wasn't yet fully convinced. But to become fully convinced and to grow in endurance and to grow in character and to grow in hope, I made a choice based upon faith in a God of promise. I says, "God, you got some promises over my life, and it seems you've taken me this path. And this path, actually, if I keep going on the road of faith, oh, it takes me to take on the church. If I go, road of you just want to bless me? Oh, let's go over here." And sometimes we stand at crossroads and you're not fully convinced. Even while I'm talking about, I'm not fully convinced. But to become fully convinced, to build the endurance, you've got to actually step forward down the road of faith. Maybe the difficult choice has got to be made, or maybe there's some difficult choices to be made in the room. But like the pastor said to me, who'd come to talk to us, "Well, you don't have to." So, "No, I don't have to, but I want to become the best version of me that I could possibly become. So to do that, down the road of endurance we go. Faith in the promises of God. It looks so far away. But I'm stepping into it." I want to pray for you right now. If you're saying, "I need some convincing, I've got some stuff going on in my life and I don't know if I can trust. I don't know if I've got this big faith. I've got some pressures, there's some crossroads," maybe even a crossroads moment in your life. Maybe it's a big crossroads, maybe it's a relationship crossroads, maybe it's I don't know, but you've got to make a choice. Am I taking the road of faith that's going to build me into the best person, best version of me that I could be? Or am I going down the easy road that turns out actually often not to be the easy road? I'm going to pray for you as well. If you know, "Well, gosh, I need to rest on grace." You've been caught striving, trying to make stuff happen in your life. And maybe you keep hitting a brick wall. And saying, "You know what, I need to rest. Come back to resting on faith. Stop the striving. Stop trying to make it happen. Stop regretting that it's not happened so far. I want to come back to resting. Putting my faith in Jesus and resting on grace. Putting the promise back on the cushion of grace." If that's you, I'd like to pray for you. If you're that person who needs, "I need some conviction. I know I've got to push out. There's some challenge. I've got to go into some unknown waters." And I'd like to pray for you as well. So let's just close our eyes. And if some of that connects with you, some of what I've been saying, you say, "Dave, just pray for me. I'm not going to come out and pray for you. I'm not going to call you out. I'm just going to pray a prayer for where you are." If that's you, why don't you just lift your hand right now? You're saying, "Dave, just include me in that. It's a crossroads. It's a moment. It's a God, I want to walk the road of faith. I want to grow." That's good. That's good. If you need to rest in grace, come back to resting. Just lift your hand as well. That's great. There's many hands. Father God, I want to thank you. We need to praise God in a minute, by the way. Father God, I want to thank you for every single person here. For your grace. For a doorway that's been opened, Lord God, into hope, into endurance, in a possibility, God. Father, I thank you that as we step out in faith and come back to resting in grace, Lord God, Father, you give us, you strengthen us, everything we need, Lord God. Father God, to grow. Father, I thank you that in the middle of everything that every one of us is going through, God, Lord, that you are making a better version of us. Lord God, the best that we could be in order not just to bless, Lord, our own personal life, but God, to bless the world around us, Lord God. Will you, by the Spirit of God, will you confirm, Lord, to every heart, Spirit of God, that we are the children of God, that we're sons of God, Lord, that we're heirs and co-heirs with Jesus Christ, so we need not think we don't deserve it, that we don't, Lord, we haven't earned it, Lord God, but by what Jesus Christ has done for us, Lord God, you pour into our lives everything that we need in Jesus' name. Come on, let's stand together. Let's all stand together. If you don't know Jesus Christ, you're saying, I don't know him at all, but I want to know him. Or I've known him and I've walked away and I want to know him today. I'm going to pray a short prayer and you can reconnect with God in that prayer. We're all going to pray. It's just saying, Jesus Christ, I just thank you for dealing with everything that would separate me from you. And I want to know what you have for me and I'm going to go your way. It's just that. That's what we're saying. So let's pray. So you need to pray with some conviction now because we've had a nice little quiet time. We've got a quiet moment. Now it's time to pray with some conviction, okay? As we finish off, right. Father God, thank you for Jesus Christ. Thank you in dying for me and being raised to new life. He opened a doorway into the life that I'm meant to have, into me becoming who I'm meant to be. Father, I thank you that Jesus dealt with everything that would separate me from you. I want to know what you have for me. I want to go your way. Fill me with renewed strength. Fill me with hope. Fill me with possibility. In Jesus' name. Everybody said. If that was you, if you just prayed that prayer and you're saying, well, I've prayed that prayer like that for the first time, or you're saying, I've prayed it before and I'm coming back to God, why don't you just lift your hand so I can see it very quickly right now before we praise God. I believe there's so many people around your world who need what God is doing in your life. So open our hearts and believe God for many, many people. Come to know Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. We'd love to hear how God is working in your life through this ministry. If you've got a story to share, email us at mybestlife@hopecitychurch.tv. And why not join us this weekend for one of our weekend services? For details of a service near you or for more information about Hope City Church, visit us online at hopecitychurch.tv. See you next time.